Good evening. This is your host, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Arlington, Texas, and you're listening to Let's Do It Radio, which can be found on the homepage at doitallinthemall.com, the only place where you can shop for anything you need securely online 24/7 and find great listening entertainment all in the comfort of your home. You will find all your religious items, Bibles in all languages, religious charms, religious T-shirts, and religious gift shops with anointing oils and memorial shops with more shops to come in the religious section of doitallinthemall.com. If you have a religious product and would like to promote it, fill out a contact form found on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Welcome to our Bible study tonight, and we are still discussing discipleship, steps to becoming more like Jesus. And we're going to, at this time, have a song by Ty Tribbett, We Gonna Be All Right.
Just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words in my mouth and stay on the right. Trouble come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go.
Oh, never let your faith go.
I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorists to
they look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright, we gon' be alright.
Tell us,
we gon' be alright. Alright.
Say
we gon' be alright.
In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble, and shame.
Shame, and fear, and fear, and pain.
Let your kingdom come, let your will be done
in the earth.
Let your glory rise, let your sun shine,
let it burn.
Wow. Welcome back. We're going to be all right. I don't care what's going on in our lives today. We're going to be all right. So I thank Ty Tribute for giving us that encouraging song, We're Going to Be All Right. And I invite you at this time to call your family and friends and invite them to join us on the line. We want you to call at this time, call in and I'm getting ready to get the number for you. So we want you to call in and join our discussion by dialing 845-241-9985. So call your family and friends and invite them to this Bible study. The number again is 845-241-9985. Again, welcome back, and we want to just have a prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and bless you and honor you. We praise you. We give you all the glory, and we magnify your name today. Father, we come not being the perfect beings that you would have us be, but we come as humbly as we know how, asking you to forgive us for all of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and make within us a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in all of us right now. We thank you for every person who is joining us, who has joined, who will be joining, and we ask that you bless all of the homes out there, all of the families out there, and that you give us all the desires of our heart and help us to have all of our needs met according to your riches and glory. So we thank you now in the name of Jesus. We pray and ask for your spirit to abide with us tonight as we read and study your word and hear what your word is telling us to do in order for us to be more like you as this disciples. Thank you, Lord, for everything. And we ask now that you be with us in this study now. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Since much of our discussion has been from Colossians, the third chapter, I want to read the third chapter of Colossians in its entirety to you now. And here's what the word of the Lord says. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your heart. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subject to your husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is your acceptable duty in the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, or they may lose heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only while being watched and in order to please them, but wholeheartedly fearing the Lord. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it as done for the Lord and not for your masters, since you know that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for whatever wrong has been done, and there is no partiality. Amen. Amen. That is the entire third chapter of the book of Colossians. And so today I want to ask, who do we have on the line right now?
Reverend Lil is here.
Okay. How are you, Reverend Lil?
Reverend
good
Eric
to hear
here.
Your voice. Reverend Eric, good. Wonderful.
Yes.
Anybody else there? Okay. Reverend Lil and Reverend Eric, we have some discussion questions that I want us to start with, and I'm going to read the first one, and it says, describe your faith journey. Describe your faith journey. And all that simply means is, what happened with you for you to begin living a life for Christ?
Okay.
Anyone of you can pitch in.
I was trying to find what page you were on. Now, what is the question to describe my faith journey?
Yes.
Is that what you said? How I became a Christian?
Right.
Okay. For me, it was some people at work gave me some tapes to hear. Before then, I guess I might as well start. I believe it started with a dream. And from that dream, which was about Jesus, he was standing in a boat with his hands stretched out. And that was the second dream I had had in about 2 weeks. And before then, he and Satan was in an elevator fighting. They were wrestling and tussling in the elevator. And I understood that they were tussling over me and a friend of mine, a young lady that she and I worked together. And so not too long after that, me and my husband had been looking at a house to purchase, and we were really excited about it, or at least I was. And so when I came home from work this particular day, he decided that we weren't going to get the house, which was very disappointing to me, to the point that it made me very angry. And I really tried to hurt him seriously. If it had not been for my son, I would have succeeded. And so I got real mad, and I went out the door to go to the mailbox, and I just kind of like had the thought, the Lord must be trying to get my attention. And so after that is when some of the people at work, they were always talking about the Lord, which I was never included in those conversations, really was not interested. And so this young lady, her name was Peggy Andres, she started telling me about the Lord, and she gave me these tapes to hear. And so I did. I listened to them, and they was from man, I don't remember his first name, his last name was Hinton, and he was preaching on the book of Revelations. And so not too long after that, I was at work on a Saturday evening, and I had told the young man, John, to just leave the radio on. And usually I would turn it over to the jazz station. He was a Christian man. He listened to the Christian stations. So I told him that day, just leave it on. I get it. And so he went on home, and I was there at the lab in toxicology department by myself. And so I listened. And the people that's on the radio probably won't be familiar. I don't know. But you probably familiar, Carolyn, with the big brothers here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It might even be called Big Heart Ministry. But anyway, they at the end of their little program, they extended the invitation to receive Jesus, and I did. And after that, I purchased a Bible. Another young lady had what they call a open Bible. And I purchased one, and I began to read. And I think I read the entire New Testament in about 2 weeks. That's how it was, like I could not put it down. I read at home. I read on my breaks at work. I read on the parking lot waiting for my husband. And I was just full of reading. And that's how it all began.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. So,
oh, yeah, and my birthday is August 21st, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
1982,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Amen.
And that's when you started your faith journey?
Yes, ma'am.
August 1982. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, anybody else would like to share their faith journey? Well, I'll share mine. My faith journey was such that I was one who actually came up in the church, but I was not that serious while being a member of the church. And when I moved to Dallas in 1985, I was soon pregnant. In 1986, I found the church, but when I was going to deliver in October, and in August I needed to have a church for my son to be born and baptized in. And so I needed to find a church, and that was my motivating factor. When I went to the church and found it, I had been visiting churches, but I was always praying and asking the Lord to help me find the church that would be a family to me. And he did. He allowed me to be invited to a beauty shop. And as I was driving to the beauty shop, I found St. Mark AME Zion Church in Oak Cliff, the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. And that, to me, was a blessing for me because I was AME Zion at home, and I was living in Mesquite, Texas. And when I moved to Mesquite, I was a really, 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 really real minority in Mesquite, Texas. And so I was looking for a church, and I was visiting with, I think it was Rod Parsons. But I was going to this church, and people would be inviting me to go to church, and I would go, but I would never join. I didn't find the one that I really was comfortable with. And when I saw the AME Zion Church, I visited the following weekend because I had already made a commitment to go visit with someone on Sunday, and this particular church was up on 635 area 35, and they had a really big church, and this church was, the minister was into healing ministry. I can't call his name right now, But anyhow, I had made commitment to go to that church, and so the following Sunday I went to the church that I found when I was on my way to this beauty shop. And when I went, I felt right at home, and I joined that church in August 1986. And from that time on, I kept praying and asking the Lord to help me in my relationship with him. And I prayed specifically that he would help me to allow the words that were being preached on Sunday to change my life. And that was the beginning for me, and it did. And then September 1998, he allowed me to have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which changed me even more. Because although I was in the church, I was living a carnal life, but I was going to Bible study and continuing to study. And what do I mean by carnal? I was really living on the fence. I was living for the Lord and trying to live for the world. And so I was doing both. But my faith journey started there with me finding a church that I would be able to have for my son to be baptized in when he was born. And that's exactly what happened. So I praise God for that. And I have continued from that time to study the word, to read the word. And I was asked one Sunday by the Sunday school superintendent to become a Sunday school teacher. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And as I was walking down the hall in the church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I thought you said you wanted to read and study and learn the word more. What better way would it be then for you to have to study and prepare to share with others? And I had to turn around and go back, and I've been teaching ever since. So praise God for my faith journey as well.
Amen.
Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, my faith journey, Pastor, started out in St. Mark and Zion West.
Mm-hmm.
I came and I was visiting the church. We used to go there, the whole family, me, my mom, and my grandma. And as a kid, I would go to church, and I was kind of captivated by the pastor, how he would preach. And I would come home and kind of act like he was. And I would have these dreams at night that I was falling all the time. And the Lord
mm-hmm.
would be talking to me as a kid. I was falling into off a mountain. And I didn't understand it. I asked questions about it, but I didn't understand why I was always falling in these dreams. But later on, I would find myself asking the Lord about it much later down in my early 20s. And
mm-hmm.
as I progressed in age, I acquired more information about what was really happening in those dreams, because I constantly had those dreams all the time, all through my youth. And I came to visit the church. My mom had asked me to visit, so I came to visit the church, and it had a new pastor. So as I came to the church, you know, I was once again captivated by the message that was being delivered. And as I left, I was thinking, you know, why is this so important to me? Why is this message so important to me? And because I wasn't living a Christian life. I was just living a life as a young man. And I thought, well, there's something about this. I'm going to have to go back to this church again because there's something about this message that I heard. Well, I went back on a second time, and the Lord touched me and moved in my life a lot more. And then I decided, well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not that's talking to me. So I asked the Lord, is this really you talking to me? Then you will send me a sign that it would be just for me and nobody else would know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got that sign, and I said, well, I don't know. Maybe this is the devil trying to fool me, because I had started believing more in what I was hearing. So I went back again, and I wound up accepting the Lord as my Savior.
And okay.
That's how it started. And then it kind of moved forward, and I got closer to the Lord, and I learned more about Him. And the Lord showed me many different things through dreams, through prophecy. People would come out of nowhere. I had a lady come from West Texas and told me that I had never met her before, told me that the Lord wanted me to preach. And I was like, oh, no, you got the wrong guy. And I said, that's not me. That's not me. But the Lord changed things, and He schooled me and made a way and put me on the path that I'm on now. In those days was, I think I was like 21, 22 years old. So I just turned 60. So the Lord's been around a long time dealing with me.
Amen. So thank you for sharing, Reverend Eric. Anybody else want to share? Well, the one thing that it sounds like I heard from all of us, that no matter what the initial encounter was, all of us were seeking more or seeking something in this faith journey that helped propel us to where we are even today. So thank you for sharing that. Now I'm going to ask this other question. What is the most difficult part of dying to your flesh? Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say die to the flesh? And all I'm talking about is that when you became saved, you then started having two encounters, your fleshly encounter and your spiritual encounter. So you have two natures, the flesh nature and the spiritual nature, and you're going to always have that. But your fleshly nature is the one that we need to learn how to die to. So what is the most difficult part of dying to your flesh?
Well, allowing the Spirit of God. Okay. Allowing the Spirit of God to lead and guide you. sometimes
okay.
we, in the flesh, I know for me, when I first started following, it was hard to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying because my flesh wanted what it wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it wanted to be in control.
Okay.
And I had to come to a point where I was able to allow the Lord to lead me. Otherwise, I would be leading myself because of the flesh.
Okay, very good.
Flesh wants what it wants.
So it sounds like the flesh is very, very strong, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for that. Anybody else? What is the most difficult part of dying to the flesh?
Well, I think learning how to depend on the Lord and not depend on yourself.
Okay.
We always want to, or we think we know what we need to be doing and how to get it done, when in essence we really don't. And
mm-hmm.
I think since we do have that sinful nature, that old man keeps wanting to stick his head up, we want to not depend on the Lord. We want to be independent and not dependent.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So the most difficult part of dying to your flesh is allowing the Lord to be depended upon as opposed to you making the decisions for yourself. And I agree with both of you. The flesh wants to be in control, and the flesh will be in control when we are feeding the flesh more than we are feeding the Spirit. So I agree totally with both of you. Any other comments? Have we had anybody else to join us on the line yet? Well, and then for me, the danger of not allowing the flesh to be put to death is that I stand the risk of being out of the ark of safety at all times. And when you're out of the ark of safety, anything could potentially happen. Now, let's just say the Lord decides to come and call us home. And when we're outside of the ark of safety, we will not make it with the Lord because we are consumed by the other things. I'm sorry, excuse me, just a minute. All right, so what does it mean to live a holy life? Does living a holy life mean you got to dress a certain way? That's a
no.
Yes or no. Do you have to act a certain way, living a holy life?
Yes.
Yes. So it's more about our action than it is about our dress. It's not about our outer appearance. But a holy life is doing those things that will allow us to do what? Be in communion and fellowship with the Lord at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what does it mean? What is the difference in making Jesus Savior versus making Jesus the Lord in your life?
Well, when he's your Savior, that's what he is your Savior. He has saved you from sin. But when you make
mm-hmm.
him the Lord, he rules and reigns over the whole you, not just, you know, be your salvation, but he reigns over and he rules over you. In other words, he has all of you. He don't have a little part, but he has all of you. it goes right back to what I said a while ago. You are totally dependent on him. He's your Lord. So you're dependent on him. He has all of you, your mind, soul, body, and spirit. Let me put it that way.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So he is the person making the decision in your life. However, if we don't allow him to be the decision maker, he will not be the decision maker because he's not that kind of Jesus. He is not going to get in our way and bogart in to help us. We have to be the one there yielding ourselves to him for him to do the work. And if you don't yield to him, nothing is going to take place. And
that's
Reverend
right.
Leo, you're on page number 5.
Okay.
And you will be able to see where the questions are on that page, if that makes sense to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so in Colossians 3, 12 through 17, well, no, I skipped the question. How has your life changed now that you are saved?
Oh, well, it's changed totally, really. That old saying that you don't do what you used to do is very true. I'm only speaking for myself, and I hope for some others, that you don't even have the desire to do the things that you once did. So through by the Spirit of the Lord, through by his word, through all of that, you change. You still have that sinful nature because that's your nature, and it is not time for it to be changed into something else, but that sinful nature no longer dominates and rules me. Now, it might get out of order, I might step out of line for a moment, but it does not reign and rule over me like it once did. That's the difference.
So you are a changed individual.
Yes. You don't think the same. You don't look at things the same. You don't feel the same. You don't act the same. You don't respond the same. Because you're gaining daily that Christ-like mind that we're supposed to have. All of that you read in Colossians earlier in the beginning of the lesson about the fornication and uncleanness and all of that is being pulled out of us daily.
Daily.
And I say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Because we don't need that
Mm-hmm. And that is something all of us should be saying, because it's one thing to know what you was as opposed to what you are now.
That's right.
And all of us was a sin-sick mess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We needed the Savior to save us, and now that we have been saved and we're growing in grace by the studying of his word, this is why it's important for us to learn what it means to become a disciple and to make some decisions that we're going to live differently. Because just because we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior doesn't mean that we will automatically just have the desire to flee the wrath to come. Because if that was the way that it was, then we wouldn't have to fight so hard to not be in sin. But it is difficult, and you got to fight. You got to fight. You got to give up. You got to yield yourself to the Lord, who will help you. And without the Lord helping us through his Holy Spirit, we are destined to fail. We cannot be the people we desire to be, because we are human beings born into sin. So it's easier for us to do what's wrong than it is for us to do what's right. So when we look around and we see all of the things that are going on in the world today, we see that there is so much that can be changed, but people in and of themselves can't change themselves. So the first step would be accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. And once we do that, then we'll be able to better be successful in being and doing what we need to do to yield to our Savior. Okay. So anybody else, how has your life changed now that you are saved? Let me ask this.
Well,
do you sometimes find yourself doing wrong anyway?
I think Reverend Eric was trying to answer your question.
Okay, go ahead, Reverend. Sorry.
Okay. Pastor, life has changed considerably, a lot, because I remember the times that after I accepted Jesus and became familiar with his word, things would just stop happening that I would normally do. It wasn't my desire to do them anymore. Things of a relative nature that I had was no longer a response. I wouldn't even give it a response to some of the things that I used to do. I mean, the things that was grounded, that seemed like was common nature, all of a sudden wasn't there anymore. And it wasn't because that anybody told me it was wrong. It was more or less the desire to do them left, the desire to be a part of certain things just dropped off, you know. And people, I had a whole bunch of friends at one time, and all of a sudden they just disappeared. We lost that common interest, that interest that kept us among each other, per se. But that common interest disappeared, and as it disappeared, they disappeared. And
that is because as you grow in grace, you're not going to have the same things in common as those who once had the same things in common with you.
Right.
So that is one difference. Yes. Okay, for those of you who just joined us, we are answering the question, how has your life changed now that you are saved? So we have caller number 8238 and caller number 7126.
Hi, Carolyn. It's Janet.
Hi, Janet. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for letting me join
Wonderful.
In later.
Welcome. Good to have
hey,
you.
Thank you. Good to be here. I know that for me, the biggest thing is that I know I now get answers to things that I have questions about. I'm not alone anymore in my searching for what's right, what's wrong, what's the answer to this, what's the answer to that. It's like I've got the Holy Spirit who's there. You know, once we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And I just am so grateful and amazed at how that Holy Spirit just leads me in my walk with God to talk with him and to him to talk to me. And that's what I love about it is, whether or not I like the answer that I get, it doesn't matter. But I find that having the Holy Spirit to communicate with God fulfills such a deep hole in my life. So that's what I want to share.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And
sure.
That is always the glue that keeps everything together. The Holy Spirit is the glue that keeps everything together for us, I believe. Now, and so we had another caller as well. Would you like to share as well?
That's 7126 is my number, I believe.
Okay. All right, so you've already shared. Now we'll move on. In Colossians 3:12 through 17, we have identified six things that a disciple must do to become a true and committed disciple. Again, we are speaking in the first person in an effort to make it more personal. So we covered verses 1 through 11 last time we met, and this week we're going to be talking more on 12 through 17, verses 12 through 17. So as a true committed disciple, I am chosen by God, holy and beloved, and I have put on the fruit of the Spirit, demonstrating love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you look in verse number 12, that's what you're going to find supporting that. All right? So now, do you agree that in your Christian journey, you can see now that you are more apt to put on the fruits of the Spirit and you're able to demonstrate love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, and goodness? Now, we may not always be demonstrating those things, but we need to strive to be demonstrating those things at all times so that we will not allow the flesh to overtake us in our pursuit of trying to be a disciple and demonstrating what the changes are in our lives or the changes that have taken place in our lives. We're not perfect people, but we should always be striving for perfection.
That's right.
You agree with that? You're not going to be perfect, but
yeah,
you should always be striving for perfection. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit living in our lives will help us be able to demonstrate and show love, to demonstrate and show joy and have joy, and to demonstrate the peace and the patience and the kindness and the gentleness and the goodness and even the faithfulness and the self-control. You know, self-control is a big one, because can you imagine us saying we are Christians and we are not able to demonstrate self-control?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right,
people are looking to us, the Christians, as examples to be able to show the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. And if we're not demonstrating those things and trying to lead others, people are going to look and say, why would I want you leading me when you have no joy? Why would I want you leading me when you're not patient? Why would I want you leading me when you're not a kind individual, when you don't have any self-control, when you are not faithful? Why would I want you leading me and trying to tell me how I should be, but yet you don't do it yourself? So would you agree that as a true and a committed disciple, you would be a person chosen by God, holy and beloved, and you can put on the fruits of the Spirit, demonstrating these things that we just shared?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And number two,
oh, yeah,
I must be patient with my fellow man's actions while at the same time forgiving unconditionally the actions of others as Christ forgives us. That's verse number 13.
Yeah.
We've got to always stand ready to forgive. But let's talk about forgiveness. Does forgiveness mean you need to keep taking the same thing from the same person over and over and over and over and over again?
No. No, no, it does not mean that. It means that you forgive that person for whatever they've done, commit to the Lord, and move on.
And
that's what we have. That's the example there is, and that's Jesus Christ. I believe he, when he was hanging on the cross, he asked the Father to forgive them, speaking of the people that had did him wrong, but not stopped him from doing what he came to do. And he said that they knew not what they do. But he asked that and demonstrated how we are to forgive others, because nobody has had to go through what Jesus went through. And so if he can look beyond that was going on with him, and look at the prize, we should be able to do that also. He stresses that we forgive one another. And he lets us know if we don't, the Father, which is in heaven, will not forgive us our trespasses. So it's like a win-win. The person that has done wrong to you is forgiven, and you forgiving them allows the Father to forgive you.
Well, talk about it. Let's talk about this. When is it time to give up and move on?
When they do something wrong to you. Sometimes, and I'll use myself because that's the best example I know of. People do something to you that hurts your feelings or whatever, and I can get really frustrated. And what I'll do is walk around here and talk to myself for a few minutes, and then I have to look at it. Okay, Leo, now you know better. You are bigger than that. And then I have to go to the Lord and say, well, Lord, I forgive such and such a person for what they did. And then I let him know I'm upset, but I'm forgiving them, and I ask that you help me to forgive and forget and to move on. And that's what he does. It's real simple. Because I understand if I'm trying to hold on to something that don't amount to a hill of beans, I'm bringing detrimental stuff to my own self. I'm hurting me. Because the person that I'm upset with, they gone on about their business. I'm not hurting them. I have heard people say, oh, I'll never forget them for what they did to me. Well, you hurting yourself. You're not hurting that person. That person gone on with their life. But you cutting off your communication. You hurting yourself. You probably stopping some blessings that you really need to receive from getting to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I have to believe it's set up that way because of Jesus and his cross. Because he made the way for us to be forgiven. And it would not be right for us not to forgive one another.
Well, in that forgiveness process, when is it time to move on?
I would think once you have gave it to the Lord, it's time to go.
Okay.
Now, the question should be, what time do you give it to the Lord? Me, personally, I don't like to hold stuff. So I'm pretty quick.
Yeah, you have to always give it to the Lord.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't like to hold stuff. So in my case, I'm pretty quick to give it to him. I told you, I might walk around here for a few minutes talking to myself, you know, because we are human. We're going to try to justify stuff. But then the Spirit of the Lord is going to tell you, no, don't look at it that way. Just let it go. And you got to work in obedience. You got to let it go if you want to move on.
Right.
So I give it to the Lord. I talk to him about it, and I'm through with it. Once I talk to him, I'm through with it. And that can be done. I'm going to say that can be done in a real short period of time.
So how do we do that with mates as opposed to how do we do it with friends and family members. Cause
it should be the same. I don't matter who it was or who it is. It should be the same. You should have the same. Because the thing of it is, we are trying and we are striving, hopefully we are striving, to have that Christ-like mind. And that Christ-like mind includes forgiving one another. Because he's the one that initiated this.
So you can forgive one another and still move on to wherein you're not the bosom buddies you once were, but you still have to love them.
Well, your love should never stop for anyone. We should love them. And as you said earlier, you don't have to keep taking a lot of foolishness from someone. You forgive them, and sometimes you have to separate yourself from somebody. I'm gonna say it this way: even when you're not a Christian, you have to separate yourself sometime from somebody. And so, being a Christian, you know, you definitely have to. Sometimes people get mad at you. And like I said, I ain't gonna never forgive them. Well, that's their problem. You can even go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Will you forgive me? And they still don't want to forgive you. Well, you've done what you're supposed to do. And the only thing you can do is go on with your life and pray for them. Again,
right,
you have to put them in the hands of the Lord.
And, but I find that when someone doesn't forgive me, which it's kind of rare, but there's been the one or two times that I just feel so, it's like Satan holds it over my head, and I feel so embarrassed about what I've done, and it's almost like Satan says, yeah, it's still there what you did, and you haven't been forgiven. Kind of playing with my mind, and I have to quit beating myself up when I've gone to this person and asked for forgiveness and, you know, told them how wrong I was, how sorry I was, but I wasn't forgiven. And because of what I did was something I truly regret. And it's because that other person has not forgiven me, it's like Satan takes that and holds it over my head all the time. I was even fighting it right now as you were reading the scriptures. I thought, oh my gosh, so-and-so, I'm so embarrassed what I did, and I wish I could go back in time and change things because so-and-so has never forgiven me.
You have already said what's going on. Satan is beating you over the head. But
yeah,
you have to let him know you got the victory in Christ Jesus. If you've done what we are talking about, then it's not your fault. It's that person that don't want to forgive you. That's their problem, not yours. You have done what the word said do, and you need to tell the word to Satan.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
That
helps
sense
a lot.
Because Satan's job is to help to keep us being defeated. And
that's
we
right.
Just keep on. And but, you know,
wow.
For those of us who are married, in marital relationships, there's a lot of forgiving and a lot of back and forth that you have to deal with in a marital relationship.
Yeah.
In our marital relationships. And so you still have to come to a point of praying and asking God to help you decide what it is that needs to be done, because I still don't believe that he intends for us to be tormented in our marital relationships.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I believe while divorce is not good, it can be good, because if you're going to be in a relationship that's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and you keep going through the same things with one another and asking for forgiveness, but yet you may not even have a lot of peace, is at that point that you have to give it all to God and wait for God to tell you when it is time to move on. So for a lot of us, a lot of people struggle in relationships and not able to break away. And sometimes staying is worse than breaking away.
Okay.
That's true, Pastor, because if you look at some of the situations, people that stay in marriages that have a lot of turmoil between the two people back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and they're constantly asking for forgiveness of things, but yet and still they're still having those moments that they drift away from one another. So that is true. I wouldn't advise anybody to stay in some of these relationships that I've heard about that lead
mm-hmm.
to death, because a lot of times people stay in relationships for the wrong reason. You know, abusive relationships can go on and they're trying to stay there for the wrong reason. Those are the kind of relationships that need to be terminated. And
mm-hmm.
because nobody should have to go through an abusive relationship.
Right.
And plus, we want to define abuse. Abuse doesn't mean that somebody is beating on you only.
No.
It doesn't mean that somebody is cursing you out or saying negative things to you. Abuse can be such that people are caught up into themselves and don't realize how they are hurting the other people that are involved in their lives as well.
Right.
When a person is selfish, then a person is bringing hurt and pain and struggle to the other people. And that is not right, because Scripture teaches us that if I'm doing anything that is offensive to you, I need to stop it. And if I don't stop it, I'm in sin.
That's right.
True.
So no matter what it is. So, again, I must be demonstrating the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, the self-control, the faithfulness, but I don't have to be taken advantage of in the process.
Right.
Okay. Number two, I must be patient with my fellow man's actions while at the same time forgiving unconditionally the actions of others as Christ has forgiven us. So, yes, we got to be patient with one another to forgive, but what else do you do? While, you know, you're praying and asking the Lord to help other people get it together, because, again, your shortcoming might not be my shortcoming, and my shortcoming may not be yours, but all of us have shortcomings, but our shortcomings should not be causing injury for other people. And that is why number three is
Amen.
So important. It says, I must above all else love others, which is the super glue that will bring unity to the body of Christ. Love is everything. And it is the first one in the fruit of the Spirit. And as I've said before, if you don't have love, you certainly won't have joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, nor self-control. Love starts with it all. And you got to really love a person to not keep injuring them. Number four, I must let the peace of Christ control my heart, thoughts, and emotions, and be very thankful that he does. Now, I must let the peace of Christ control my heart. See, what I think many of us forget is that we're not in this world by ourselves. And if we're going to be the kind of disciple that Christ wants us to be, we got to really do, as Sister Lil said earlier, lean and depend on him to be in control of everything. And if he's not in control of our hearts, our thoughts, and our emotions, you already done lost it. What I found is that it's easier to talk a good game about what we should do as opposed to being about it. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So it's easy for me to say I must let the peace of Christ control my heart, my thoughts, and my emotions, but as soon as I'm out of the Bible study, I'm going about and doing whatever else I feel like I'm big enough to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
No Christ control in my heart, nor my thoughts and my emotions. You see, a true disciple will practice these things. And it's not enough for me to say that I'm looking at you and you not doing it if I'm not doing it as well. And as all of us as Christians, whether you the minister, the teacher, the student, all of us on the same playing field. And whatever
okay,
is good
now.
For the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah.
He didn't create the rules to be for some and not for others.
That's right.
So any other thoughts there? And on top of that, with him being in control of our hearts, thoughts, and emotions, we got to be thankful that he does. And we need to be thanking him, saying, thank you, Lord, for healing and keeping my control of my heart, thoughts, my emotions. And I'm thankful that you're doing that. Because otherwise, I'm just a person that could be going astray.
That's right.
All right.
So whoever I am in him, he has created me to be that, and I need to be what? Thankful that he has done that.
Yes.
Yes.
I have another comment to make.
Yes.
Please. The peace of Christ. I think back on when in one of the Gospels, when Jesus died, it said that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, that it came
mm-hmm.
from the heavens, you know, the top, all the way to the bottom, so that we could go into that inner area where only the high priests were allowed to go, that now the door was open and we are at peace with God. And so when you say the peace of Christ, I think what a powerful thing that Jesus has created right now. My link to God is open and at peace. But that's a powerful thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And see, the peace he gives to us should also be extended to one another. So he has given us so much control, but it's up to us to take full advantage of it, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And number five says, I must allow the word of Christ to be alive in me deeply so I may teach and encourage others with wisdom through praise and worship from the Holy Spirit and praising God with a grateful heart. I must allow the word of Christ to be alive in me deeply. There again, it's not enough for me to know the word if it's not living in me, so that I can teach and encourage others with wisdom through praise and worship from the Holy Spirit. And praising God with a grateful heart. Does that make sense to each of you?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So whatever I do in word or deed, I must do it as a representative of the Lord Christ Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So whatever you're doing, we need to do it as though you're doing it unto the Lord. So if you're in relationships with others, we need to be in a relationship in such a way that we're doing it as though we're doing it unto the Lord.
That's
if
right.
You are working a job, you need to be doing it as though you are doing it unto the Lord, not trying to look out for the breaks or the things that you can get away with. You know, I never understood how you can go to a job and you try to beat the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all know what I mean when I say beat the clock? You're just there, but nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we need to be doing good in every area of our lives. In Colossians 3:18 through 25, there are additional instructions that extend beyond the individual and become an extension of the individual's entire life. Our entire life is tied to Christ, or should be tied to Christ. Everything involving the individual changes. Our priorities changes, our struggles changes, our interaction with others changes. Everything changes. The way we praise and worship changes. The way we are thankful changes. Everything, because Christ becomes the center of the individual's life, and every part of the individual becomes an extension of Christ. Y'all understand that?
Uh-huh.
So our social life, our financial life, our family life, all becomes an extension of Christ. So Christ is in the center, and then there's an offshoot from that center to make everything better in our lives. Does
that
make sense to you?
Oh, yes, that makes a lot of sense, Reverend Carolyn, because, again, without the cross, none of that would be available to us. Everything, that's what they're saying, is everything that pertains to us, our wants, our needs, our desires, our healing, whatever it is through Christ Jesus and his cross. We have to look at Calvary every day. That's where it started for each one of us. Without Calvary, none of us would be saved. None of us would be on this line right now.
Amen.
So we have to look at it. That's where the victory was gotten, was at Calvary. Satan was on Jesus' path the whole 3.5 years of his ministry. They was always watching, following him, sending out spies, listening, trying to find the itsy-bitsy little thing to accuse him of. All of this here, even Herod is sending out threatening messages, all of this foolishness, but Jesus kept his eye on the prize. He knew what the prize was, and he kept his eye on it, and he endured all of that for you and for me, and for any man, woman, boy, or girl that will believe on him. That's beautiful. It's just really beautiful. Yes, everything we need comes through Jesus and his cross. And we have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, hallelujah, for making a way possible, not only for us to be saved from our sins, but to be saved from this other stuff too. You gave us the victory in all things. Even when people won't forgive us for something, and we have went forth and did what God has said to ask them and apologize and pray to the Lord and all of that, we have the victory in that. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And that's why it goes on in Colossians in verse number 18 to talk about beyond verse number 18, how we are to be in our relationship with others, from the husband and the wife to the children. And so let's go there now. As a true and committed wife, I must live my life as if it is not my own, but Christ understanding and supporting my husband in ways that honors God as he follows Christ. So now, it's a totally different thing when you marry a person who is not in Christ, but you are. And what I'm saying is that I am obligated to tarry with the person who is not in Christ that I marry, because I knew what I was doing when I connected with him. Or he knew what he was doing when he connected with me. So I have
this
to...
Book, is this before you're saved or afterwards?
Before you're saved.
Okay.
After you're saved, see, when you marry a person and you're not, well, let me use myself as an example. When Rodney and I got married, we were evenly yoked in the world.
Okay.
I personally came to Christ first.
Okay.
Then he eventually came to Christ.
Uh-huh.
So now both of us are in Christ, and both of us should be working to nurture and develop our relationship in Christ.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
If I was not in Christ prior to me marrying him and found Christ first, I needed to have tarried and wait on him to come to Christ.
That's right.
But as a person who is already in Christ, and both of us being in Christ, we should both be understanding and supporting each other in ways that honors God as both of us follow Christ.
Uh-huh.
But that doesn't mean that we could possibly end up in divorce court. Me personally thinking about it, I think you should not, because anything, there's nothing too hard for God if both of you are working for the same thing.
Uh-huh.
But if I want something that Rodney does not want, or Rodney wants something that I do not want, we're not working for the common good in a way that would be honoring God.
Okay.
As either of the two of us following Christ. So we're not honoring Christ in our relationship, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's when it could end in disaster that I'm saying. So as a true and committed wife, I must live my life as if it is not my own, because it's not. My life was bought with a price by Christ.
Uh-huh.
And because Christ has purchased my life with his life, then I should be understanding and supporting of my husband in ways that honors God as he follows Christ.
That's right.
The problem is when he is not following Christ. Y'all understand me?
Yes, yes.
I don't care if my husband is the preacher, the teacher, the bishop, the pope, whomever. He's got an obligation to honor God as he follows Christ. And
yeah,
when he's not doing that, that's my way out of my relationship.
Uh-huh.
Now let's talk about it some more, because I want to make sure that we all are on the same page in our understanding of that.
Yeah, I understood it pretty good.
Yes.
As long as he is serving the Lord like he's supposed to, like the Lord requires us to do, then you can do your part, and if he stops, if he steps outside of that, then it's like you are relieved from the duty that you had in the beginning.
That's exactly right. And then when we go to number two, it goes a different way. As a true and committed husband, I must show the love of Christ to my wife and love her unconditionally as Christ loves the church. Well, see, we talked about love and love being an action word, right?
Uh-huh.
You can't say you love me and do anything you want to do to me.
That's right.
That does not go together.
That's exactly
so,
right.
That's right.
As a true committed husband, the husband has to show the love of Christ to the wife and love her unconditionally as Christ loves the church. And when he gets out of line there, then that also allows me to be out of step in the relationship as well.
That's right. Because the two from Ecclesiastes say you have to walk together. If you're not, it's no way that you can be trying to go forward and he's trying to go backwards, or he's going forward and you going backwards, whoever that might be, because the two can't walk together like that. You got to be on the same track, on the same way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the scripture says it like this: How can one walk together unless they agree?
Yeah.
And the same goes for the children. As a true and committed child, I must always seek to please the Lord, which includes obeying my parents. You can't please God disobeying your parents. You can't please God being disrespectful to your parents.
That's right. That's
right. And
then
it goes on to say, and that's verse number 20, then it goes on to say, as a true and committed father, I must always seek to treat my children in a manner that encourages them, not provokes them.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So you want to be teaching your children the love of God and what the Word of God says at all times. And if you're not doing that, then you're not going to be a true committed disciple. And I think I want us to really see what's happening here. As a true and committed disciple, you will have a more perfect step as it relates to your relationship with the husband, the wife, the children, with God. And God is first, and nobody is above God.
Amen.
But everybody has a role to play, and much of the problems that comes up in our lives is because we have gotten out of step with what God wants us to do. Agreed?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And number six, as a true and committed disciple, I must remember that God will give me heirship to the kingdom. As a true and committed disciple. So now we're not doing all these things for naught. We're trying to do what we need to do so that we can reap the benefit of being an heir to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
If I wasn't trying to make it to heaven, I would not do many of the things that I do. But I know that I can't make it to heaven and please God, living and doing and saying and thinking any old thing I want to do.
Uh-huh.
That's where we come back to where we talked about the flesh, dying to the flesh up there in the question number two. What is the most difficult part of dying to the flesh? Irregardless of how difficult it is to die to the flesh, we have to think about what is the ultimate goal and what do I stand to lose if I am not a committed disciple.
That's right.
As a true and committed disciple, I must remember that God will give me heirship to the kingdom. So I want to be an heir to the kingdom of God. That means I'm going to be an heir to everything that Jesus has.
That's right.
And Jesus didn't make any bones about it. What did he say? I give you the keys to the kingdom. But he's not going to give me the keys to the kingdom if I'm living any kind of way and doing anything I want to do. I need to live a holy life and be pleasing in the sight of God, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
So as a true and committed disciple, I must be just and fair with everyone if I expect God to be fair and just with me.
That's right. That's it.
So whatever I expect from God, that's what he expects from me as well. And looks like we are at 6:26, so we want to be respectful of the time. So we can stop here and pick up at number six the next time, so we'll just send the same outline again, okay?
Okay.
And I intentionally put more in there that we needed to cover. So let us at this time, any other comments that you have?
No.
We're going to hear the Georgia Mass Choir singing the song, Somebody Prayed for Me. And after that, we're going to take prayer requests and we're going to close in prayer.
Somebody prayed.
glad somebody prayed for you and still praying for you? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That makes a difference. That makes a difference. Do we have any particular prayer requests tonight? The Lord is a prayer answering God. First thing I know we want to pray for, the hurricane, the storm that's hitting the East Coast now. So we want to pray for Inez, who is there in Florida where the storm is coming in at, in Tampa. And so let's pray for the storm victims. Anybody else got anything to add? I know Sharon has a friend that was losing his sight. I think his name is Marvin. So we want to keep him lifted up. Anybody else?
Pray for both presidents.
All right. Well, for the president-elect, because we only got one president at a time. So,
well,
so
pray for both.
Pray for the president
for both
and the president-elect.
Yes. Pray for both.
I understood what you were saying. I was just clarifying that. Anybody else? Okay. Heavenly Father, we just come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts tonight. We praise you and we bless you and we honor you because you have been with us in this study tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for visiting with us. Thank you for giving us unity. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love and your joy and your patience. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, oh God, for self-control. And even in those areas where we do not quite feel that we have mastered self-control, you can give it to us, oh God. So we ask you to give us self-control in all areas of our lives. Thank you for your salvation tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for Let's Do It Radio. Thank you for Do It All in the Mall. Thank you for Sister Janet. Thank you for Reverend Eric. Thank you for Reverend Lil. Thank you for Reverend Rodney. Thank you for Sister Eileen. Thank you for Sister Inez and Sister Sharon. Thank you for all of the people who have visited us on the line in our study and in our worship services. Oh, God, we pray for all of those who are looking to grow closer to you. And we ask you, oh God, that you move by your spirit and that you control everything in our lives. Those areas that need to be perfected in our lives, we ask that you continue to do that in the name of Jesus. We love you, God. We lift up Marvin now. We pray, oh God, that you will continue to heal him and bring his sight back. We ask that you not allow him to look to the left or to the right and to lean to his own understanding, oh God. We ask you to help him to lean not to his own understanding in all his ways, acknowledging you, and you will direct his path, oh God. You will be his sight while he needs sight, oh God. You will be everything that is needed, oh God. We lift up the coronavirus, and we know that it is rampant, and Texas has reached the 1 million case mark. And I thank you, oh Lord, that although I am one in that number, I am not one that have died or was severely ill, oh God. I thank you for covering me and others, and I pray that you can continue to cover us all, oh God. Keep us from all evil or hurt or harm. Thank you, oh God, for the president-elect. Thank you for the president that has been serving. And we pray, oh God, that you give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Thank you, oh God, for the task force that will be working and coming up with a plan to help get this virus under control. We thank you for the vaccine that is proving to be maybe 90% effective. So we ask that you continue to send all that you need to send. But we understand that you're doing what you need to do, oh God. Your hands are big enough to cover everything concerning us. So we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for all that you're doing now. And we ask that you will be with us as we dismiss from this Bible study tonight. Allow us to sleep well and have a great night. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you again for those who listened in. And I pray that you will help others to continue listening 24/7 online during their shopping in the mall.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray and we ask it all. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, this has been your Bible study teacher, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Arlington, Texas, and you're listening to Let's Do It Radio, found on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. Doitallinthemall.com is in Secure 27 online shopping mall, providing over 5,000 stores. We earn a commission on a qualified purchases, which goes back to your communities. Let me say that again. We earn a commission on qualified purchases, which goes back to your communities and not in our pockets. So take a tour and shop. Shop, shop, shop. The holidays are coming, and whatever you need to order, you can order it and be there in time enough for you to have it. And Let's Do It Radio can get a percentage of that for us to be able to help the community. So the more funds we build by shopping where your money matters, because it goes back into your community and into your community. So please shop with us, because we can make black lives better and make our lives better all at the same time, making a difference nationwide. So take a tour and shop. Again, shop today. Amen.
Amen.
If you like what we're doing here at Let's Do It Radio and doitallinthemall.com and would like to donate, you will find the donate button on the homepage of www.doitallinthemall.com. So please share with all of your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and tell somebody and bring somebody to share and discuss the experiences. Again, we're going to leave now with this song, My Plea. Amen. You all have a wonderful evening. Thank you for being here with us.
Oh, it's me again. I'm praying. I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm standing here and I'm afraid to move. I'm a little nervous because I've disappointed. I know I've said, these words before. If you give me one more chance, I'll never say them anymore. day at a time. I'll do all I can. Oh, I know I've said these words before. If you'll give me one more chance, I won't say I them anymore.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.